and thank the Lord for each one that's here today, and glad to be here. Most of all, we want the Lord to be here with us. I'd like to look at this thought. It seemed like it came to my mind in prayer a few days ago, but I'd like to look in Genesis, the 6th chapter, in the 5th verse. It said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This is a sad commentary on the human race, that the Lord, it grieved the Lord that he felt bad that he made man. That's kind of, you know, his own creation. He delighted in creation. He made man. Everything that he did, he saw it was good, and it was very good. I mean, he just delighted in what his hands had done. But when man turned to his own way, to his own thoughts, he came to the place where it grieved him, that says that he created man. But I want to, my message this morning is on verse 5, these words. It says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. That's very interesting to me. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I want to like to look at some scriptures that talk about imagination. It has to do with our mind, and it has to do with our heart. It mentions here. Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, and verse 10, it says, "Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, with all the men of Israel. Your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood and to the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations, and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he hears the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. Now, the Septuagint of this 19th verse is a little bit different. It says, let good happen to me, for I will walk in the error of my heart, lest the sinner destroy the guiltless with him. So maybe both of these are correct. But what I'm getting from these verses is, in one it sounds like he's afraid that the sinner is going to destroy, lest the sinner destroy the guiltless or the just. It was like he was taking things into his own hand. And drunkenness, I think about just, it was mentioned in Sunday school about excess. I think about people going to excess. It says that he may add drunkenness to thirst. You know, we get thirst, but people go to great excess many times to fulfill. But here he's mentioned, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, it's like I'm still going to be okay. That's the thought here. He said he hears the curses, but he feels like it's not going to affect him. It's not going to hurt him. Though I follow my own heart, but it mentions here imagination of my heart. And one more I want, 1 Chronicles 28, I believe it was David talking to Solomon, 1 Chronicles the 28th chapter and the 10th verse. It says, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary, be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch. That's not the verse that I was wanting. Oh, I'm sorry, 29 and 10. He says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And that's still not the verse that I was wanting. It's probably in here somewhere. Anyway, the thought that it was bringing out was that God knew the thoughts, the imaginations of man's heart. He charged Solomon. Huh? Yes, let's see. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of the people, and prepare the heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. That's very close to it, but it's not the exact place. He gave Solomon a personal charge, but he talked about God knowing the thoughts of the heart. Well, I'll go on. The word imagination, and looking up in this in the Hebrew and the Greek, it says a form, a conception, a frame, mind, and work. And to me, it's going a step further than just thoughts. The imagination it's a little bit further than just singular thoughts, but imagination, it has the word image in it.
Put it all in like 28 and 9.
28, yeah, that's it. It says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understand all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So the Lord understands the imaginations of the thoughts. And imaginations to me is a step, it's thoughts combined. It's thoughts that have been put together. It says a form, conception, frame. It's something that's been framed, something that's been formed up from our thoughts, but ultimately it stems from the heart. Ultimately it comes from where the heart is. It involves our reasonings. One of the definitions for imagination was the act or power of forming a mental image, a creation of the mind. And I think about God sees our thoughts. He knows our imaginations. Most of the time it sounds like imaginations was used in the negative sense, but that one verse we read a little ago makes it sound like you can have good imaginations. But it's a image formed in the mind that's come from thoughts and reasonings and ideas that has the heart has consented and given place to. I want to go now to Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, and verse 1. It said, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I the Lord will answer him by myself." Just thinking about how we are created with a desire to worship. God created us that way, with a desire to love, a desire to worship in our hearts. There's a vacuum in us of I'm just saying humankind. There's a vacuum in humanity for something that brings fulfillment, for something that brings happiness and contentment. And Satan knows that. Satan uses that. He uses that weakness that we have to be fulfilled by God in our lives. He uses that to divert our hearts into different channels, into different directions, seeking for fulfillment, seeking for satisfaction, seeking for happiness, seeking for contentment. And this thought here, he said that the Son of Man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. I want to read us a comment on this verse. He says, "Idolatry is common around the world and has been for almost all of recorded history. Most civilizations have a long history of extensive idol worship. In America and most Western cultures, very few people bow to idols, make offerings to statues, or worship carved images. However, the absence of outward trappings of idolatry does not mean Americans do not worship idols. Theologians have long warned us of hidden idolatry, the worship of idols of the heart. And this is what stood out to me. He quotes John Calvin. He said, John Calvin, he said, man's nature is a perpetual factory of idols. The nature of man is a perpetual factory of idols, always coming up with something to try to appease, to try to fulfill, to try to bring happiness. He goes on, he says, an idol is something that a person devotes himself to or trusts in for ultimate satisfaction, security, or salvation. An idol is anything that is loved more than God. It is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give. An idol is whatever you lack at, look at, and say in your heart of hearts. Now he said, heart of hearts. So just saying heart of hearts. He's talking about deep down, private thoughts, what we really deep inside feel inside. If I have that, then I feel my life has meaning. Then I'll know I have value. Then I'll feel significant or secure. Those are things that can be in the mind that can become an imagination, something that's in our mind that the heart has gradually, and I believe the devil does this. He puts things there, and I'm going to say this, it's not just evil and sin, but many times it can be lawful things that we put too much emphasis into, that we put too much, that consumes us too much. It can be lawful things that we're looking to for fulfillment, happiness, satisfaction. It can be lawful things. Those things can become an idol to us. Those things can become, in our imagination, something that has been framed. It's an image. And I know I've read things about brands, and I don't know a whole lot about the word brand, but it's like they call it your brand or what you like, your image, your taste. It involves all of those things. Those things begin to take a bigger place in our heart and life than what we should, than what they should. It can become an idol to us. And I believe God helps us. I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to us. I believe the Holy Spirit will help reveal to us at times that I'm putting too much into this, or I'm putting too much into that. I'm neglecting what God has for me. I'm neglecting the spiritual side. If we mind those checks, if we heed those checks and we turn our face to God and put Him first, I believe the Lord can keep us and help us. But if we override those checks, and if we override those promptings, it will begin to grow in our heart and life, and it will become an imagination, and it will become something that kind of consumes our life, that becomes a driving force in our life. I don't think I finished reading what he mentioned here, but it says, though they were maintaining the outward practices of true worship in their heart, they were worshiping false gods, and God warned them concerning that. God evaluates idolatry based upon the attitudes of the heart, not just the actions of the individual. God views heart idolatry to be as severe a sin as external idolatry. A person can maintain all the external features of faithful worship of God while harboring in his heart a pantheon of false gods. Now that's a challenge, because I know the enemy tries to allure our hearts into different avenues in different ways, and we want to guard our hearts. We want to keep, he said, keep your heart with all diligence. We want to guard and to set our affections on things above, set our affections on God, to make sure he's first in my life, not just because I go to services and because I do a lot of good things. God wants to be number one in our lives, and if he's not number one, then we're really guilty of idolatry, because we're allowing something in God's place. We're allowing something to take his place supremely in our hearts, in our lives. And I just felt really challenged by this thought of imagination, and I feel like I have seen places in my life, as I look back over my life, I see places where God has been very merciful to me, and he's had to draw me, he's had to pull me back, he's had to draw, you know, and he's had to warn me that your heart is reaching out too far, you're getting too involved, you're getting too encumbered, entangled with something. And I believe the Lord is faithful to help us to do that, because I believe, you know, deep down we want a happy life, we want fulfillment, we want to be fulfilled and satisfied. But the Lord is only, he's the only one that can really do that for us. The things of this life, the carrots that the devil has out there in front of us, they're not satisfying. They don't fulfill. There's a temporary, I'm not saying there's no excitement, I'm not saying there's no pleasure, but it's temporary. Another thing that speaks about idols is it's falsehood. He mentions that, I don't have all the scriptures about that, but he talked about their idols being falsehood. They promised pleasure, they promised gain, they promised, and another thing it seems like I've been seeing more is the things that are really popular in our world today, that are popular, that seem like gravitate, that people gravitate towards, that are drawing like magnets people in, we ought to have a caution. And I'm not one to just label everything sin and evil. I believe God can give us discernment. I believe God can give us recognition and being able to discern between good and evil, and discern when something is off kilter and something is out of place and something is not right. God can give us discernment to know and to be able to recognize. I want to get another verse, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 3rd verse, 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is some close living. This is close living. This is, if you want a spiritual workout, this is where it's at right here. Now I want to look at these verses just a little bit. It says, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The diaglot says, the Greek diaglot that used the word, it says, for the demolition of fortresses. Fortresses. It says, casting down imaginations. And the diaglot reads, the demolishing of reasonings. The crushing down of reasonings, imaginations, bringing down things that we get, you know. And I believe as we look into God's Word and we study the Word of the Lord and we hunger after the Word of the Lord, it will help us to recognize the false gods, the false reasonings, the false imaginations that are in the world today. the things that are false. The Lord can help us to recognize the falseness of it. The thing that's not right, the thing that's shallow, the thing that's not real, that's not substantial. You know, he talks about building with wood and hay and stubble and building with gold and precious stones. And he said every man's work will be tried in the fire. The fire will try every man's work. We want to build with truth. We want to build with righteousness. We want to build with things that are upright and clean and pure. But he talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You know, we are bombarded by information, everyone claiming this is it. This is it. This is the right way. This is what you need to be doing with your life. And all the advertisements, they can make it look like a picture of success, make it look like a picture of fame and fulfillment. And all the while, it can be shallow, hollow, fake, unreal. But the devil can make it look so good. It says, casting down imaginations, casting down every high thing, everything that's, you know, it seems like there's so much being promoted that's being lifted up high, that people are putting great stock in, great expectations into, that our weapons, the Word of God, can help us to cast those things down and help us to recognize that's shallow. That's not going to fulfill my life. That's not going to bring me success and true, genuine happiness. You know, it takes God to reveal those things to our heart. It takes the Lord to help us to reveal. You've seen the computer screens, you know, when they're on the, I don't know what it's called, the wait mode or whatever. You have a computer screen and it's always got these little things kind of, I don't know, this is one I've had years ago. It had these little things that was coming, it looked like they were coming at you. And when it got close, it just kind of like it veered off one way or another. And you know, that's the way of the human heart. That's the way of our natural tendencies. We tend to veer off course. We tend to turn this way or turn that way. But he said there'll be a voice behind me saying, there'll be a still small voice. The Lord will help us to say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Lord, help us today to be able to cast down high things. Things that have been exalted in our world. Things that are people put a lot of stock into, that they're giving their hearts and lives to, that are competing with the place of God in their heart and their lives. You know, the world has just kind of accepted the thought that you just go, the religious world, you just go to church and then you do what you want to. You go to church and you do what you want to. I thought about the man there in Luke, the 18th chapter, kind of came to my mind. It said, Jesus spoke, I'm sorry, I'm having such a hard time finding my verses. Luke 18:9, it said, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This guy had an imagination, didn't he? And it was all about him. It was all about what he did. Do you think he had a void in his heart? I believe he did. That's why he was trying to fill it. He was trying to fill the void in his life, but he wasn't doing it the right way. People that live for the praise and the honor of men, trying to fill a void, trying to find the security, it gets pretty close to home. He had a lot of good things that he was doing, but it was all about him. All about me. He was number one. Another verse on this same scripture, it said he prayed thus with himself. He wasn't even really praying to God. He wasn't really, his heart wasn't really even seeking the Lord. He had the verbal form of prayer, but his heart wasn't in it. Lord, help us to know how to walk humbly with God, how to seek Him with all of our hearts and allow Him to fulfill. I believe the Lord can fulfill our lives. There's a verse we sing, said, can a bird drink up the ocean, thirsting still from shore to shore? Can the God of all creation leave thy heart yet craving more? You know, if we see that we're craving, if we see that we're thirsty, I believe God has something for us. I believe God can fulfill that need. And when He fulfills that need, then we're able to live life so much better. Then we're able to be, you know, we can be content. We can be content with who we are, our station in life, the way God has made us, who we are as a person, our personality. We can be content. But I think of this man, he was not open. He was not receptive. And the Lord, I believe the Lord does that. He touches people's idols, the things that they look to and trust in for happiness. You know, we all like a sense of security, but that can get us in trouble. If it's not a security in God. If we're leaning on things for security, if we're leaning on things to fulfill us, that can become an idol to us. So I just want to encourage us and challenge. I felt challenged by these thoughts and reading these scriptures. I know there's a lot of idolatry in the world, and the scriptures warn us over and over about idolatry, but it can be in us. When I look back, I see places that my heart has gravitated towards, and the Lord's helped me to see it. You've got to cut this thing. You got to cut it off. Sometimes you just have to bring it into subjection. If it's a lawful thing, it's just got to be brought under subjection, under control. So Lord, help us today that we would love. And I thought about the scripture. He mentions loving the Lord God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, all of thy mind, all of thy strength. And I thought about that mind. You know, it's so vital for us to, as much as we can, to ponder the scriptures, to meditate upon the Word of God, and to allow the Lord to speak to us through songs, through the scriptures, through good inspirational reading material. Just absorb. Allow our hearts to absorb those things that God has provided for us that we can partake of, that will help encourage and strengthen us and help us, because if it's We're gonna look for fulfillment one way or the other. That's just the way we humans are. Every one of us, we're gonna look for fulfillment one way or another. Lord, help us to find it in Him, to find it in God, not try to look for it in ourselves or what we can do. Pray for me. Appreciate your attention this morning.